Meeting order, February 13, regular scheduled Westminster City Council meeting. Note the absence of Ms. Audrey Reese. She may come in late. Ms. Davis, would you like to give the invocation?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for our county, but we thank you so much for our town. I thank you for every hardworking citizen and our City Hall staff and the whole city staff, for every council member, and for everyone who wants the best for our town. We just pray that we can do the best we can and then ask you to help us as we go along. Please help us and give us the wisdom to work through anything we need to, so that our people will have a higher quality of life and will love living in this place. We thank you for your many blessings. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify a quorum.
I certify we do have a quorum.
Any public comments?
Lacey Moore.
Ms. Lacey.
Hourglass.
Watch the hourglass, please, and when the sand runs out, you may stop speaking.
Got it.
Got it?
I'll try not to do that. I gave Reagan some handouts for y'all, but I am the new community liaison for a new nonprofit in town called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. So it is basically a nonprofit that provides beds for kids that don't have beds to sleep in. So if they're sleeping on the couch or sleeping on the floor or sleeping on a laundry pile or sleeping with a sibling, this will basically come in. We'll have some beds like somewhat pre-built, and then we will go in and actually assemble them in their room. But we don't require any income verification or anything like that. So if y'all see a kid that you're like, hey, you know, what's your living situation at home like and they need a bed, they just have to tell us and we literally will deliver them a bed. There's not any hoops they have to jump through or anything like that. So I'm going to give resources to the police and fire departments so that they have that too. But I just wanted to let y'all know that. So we're still in our fundraising process right now. So we haven't actually built any beds and we're not taking any applications for beds currently. But once we get some beds built from the monies that we have raised, then we will start doing community builds. So it will be a kind of fun thing that the community can take part in. Different clubs and organizations can come in and help us build beds. And then we'll just accept applications. And if we ever get to a point where we have to close off applications from too many, then we can do that. But as of right now, it'll just service the 29693 area code. So they're zip code based and not necessarily like town or county based. So, but Reagan has handouts for that.
Thank you, Ms. Lacey.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. We'll go ahead. Comments from the mayor and council's next, not the presentation. Anybody on council have anything they want to say?
I just want to thank Lacey. I got to be in a meeting about that, and it's going to be a great thing. It's going to be great. And they actually take the bed, they go to the homes and make the bed there. And so it's a real ministry, and I think it's going to be a great thing for our area.
Very good. Anyone else?
It's not just a Westminster-based thing, but I think just the area itself around Westminster feeding into the West of all these state championships and county championships and upstate championships says a lot about the kids that we're bringing up, and I really think that's just another thing to help vet the Hall Street project and keeping our kids involved. If we're doing state championships, what we got now, imagine what we can do here in the future.
Anyone else? All right, I've got several. Coming off of what Dale said, the West Oak wrestling team won another state championship, and I think we need to find a way to celebrate with them. If council's got any ideas, if y'all want to try to have them a meal, or some kind of celebration, and I'm sure we're going to need to have a resolution, Kevin, for the next meeting.
Yeah.
And keep your eyes on the West Oak Middle School girls because they've won conference championships, so they may be moving up as well, and we want to make sure we give them the recognition that they deserve for their hard work and let them know how much we appreciate them. Next thing, kind of segueing off of that as well, met with the basketball coaches at West Oak today. They're interested in starting to partner with the city and doing some volunteers projects. So I've asked Kevin to look at putting some projects together across the city, recreation, parks, wherever we might need them. And hopefully we can get some money in the budget to do some of these little projects and just have some lined up for any of these civic groups that might want to get involved with the city. Had a great Municipal Association training opportunity this year. I appreciate all the council going, and Kevin and Reagan as well. Learned a lot and had a good time meeting with our legislators, and I think it's real important that we continue to do that. We have an offer. I sent council an email for a concession stand that we might could use at Eustis Field. Kevin and Herb's going to follow up on that. Want to make y'all aware of that. Keller Williams is going to have a grand opening and ribbon cutting on February 22nd. They wanted me to invite all the council for that. That's February 22nd at 1 p.m. And one thing I want to mention to council, I don't know how the rest of y'all feel about it. I think it's something we need to discuss. The events committee seems to be a lot of work for our council members, and Reagan seems to be doing a lot of the work really right now anyway. They have to come to you for everything. So could we look at finding another way of doing that, getting council members where they're not having to do so much of that work?
Yeah, so be happy for you guys to give us direction and what you want. If you want to continue with the committee as you've had it, if you want to scale it down, whatever parameters that you'd like to have, we certainly can accommodate. I think we get a fair amount of applications that are relatively administrative.
Mm-hmm.
That while we're certainly happy to bring that whoever wants to see it and review it, I don't know that it's the best use of your time. But perhaps we can come up with maybe a threshold of an event. So if it's below a certain level of activity or request for resources, we'll handle it administratively. And if it's be above that, we bring it to the committee. Would that, so if we maybe
bring
work
it,
that up and
you would
bring that
back? Yeah, you'd bring it to the council, not the committee.
Yeah. We'll bring that proposal to you.
Right.
If we can have it done by the March meeting, and then you tell us what you want us to do in terms of what we take to the committee versus just determine administrative.
Okay. Is that okay with y'all? Everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll just try something different, maybe. It's just a lot of work. I know other cities usually have a paid person just to handle all that, and we can't really afford it. We don't want to put too much on y'all, but we just want to find a smoother way to do this so it's not so hectic for our council members.
And I do want to say, Kevin, your team, Reagan, y'all's team, you've got it under control. You know, and you work so well with your department heads. And, you know, so it's, sometimes we get in the way, you know, but always, I can only speak for myself, but if you ask me as a council member if you need a volunteer, I'll volunteer. So, that's but thank you for all the hard work y'all put into everything. It runs, you have so many good policies in place and procedures, and I've watched that grow, and we appreciate that.
Anyone else? All right, this time we have a special presentation for our auditor, Ms. Marcy Lopes. You have the floor.
All right. I'd like to thank y'all again for allowing us the opportunity to perform this audit. My name is Marcy Lopes, and I'm with McKinley Cooper & Company. We're based out of Greenville, and we performed the audit for June 30th, 2023. And if y'all, I'm assuming y'all all have a copy in front of you. And I'm just going to hit highlights. If y'all have questions, stop me. If you have additional questions later, feel free to contact me too. But if we start pages 1 through 4, or what we call the independent auditor's report. So basically, I'm just going to kind of summarize what this report is saying. So it's saying that, in our opinion, the financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects for the year ended June 30th, 2023. In other words, we issued a clean opinion, or now it's what we call an unmodified opinion. So it's a good, the best opinion you can get. The city got a clean opinion. And basically, it's just saying that we're, the rest of it says we're independent, we follow GAAP, that your responsibilities are for the preparation and fair presentation and things like that. So the rest of it is kind of standard verbiage. So that is basically the gist of it. The next pages 5 through 11, are management's discussion and analysis. I always recommend to me, this is the best report in the statement. It does some good current year, prior year comparisons, gives you some reasons as to some of the changes. So if anything, I do recommend y'all read this management's discussion and analysis. And that's all about that. And then if you'll turn to page 12, it's your first statement. So governmental financial statements consist of two sets of financials. You have full accrual and modified accrual. So I'm going to talk about full accrual like it's a bit like it's a business. So this is just like it's full accrual. So it's got long-term debt, fixed assets. This also includes the stuff from PIBA. So remember, there's the GASB 68, the retirement. There's the big liability in there. So this first statement does include all that. So it says statement of net position, but this is actually what you would call like a balance sheet, if you will. So for the year ended June 30th, 2023, the city of Westminster had total assets and deferred outflows of $19.9 million, total deferred inflows and liabilities of $6.9 million, which left you with a total net position of almost $13 million. So I do like to point out, you still had a positive net position even with the PIBA in there. So even with the underfunded portion based on all the actuarial, you still had a positive net position. So without the PIBA, hit your net position by $2.9 million. So actually, lowered it. So actually, your unrestricted would be $3.4 million, if that makes sense. And that's the city's paying everything required. You can't pay it down. You're doing everything you can. You're making your annual required contributions. I get a lot of questions, how do we pay this debt down? You can't. Just some more little high points to hit in there. You had asset additions this year. General fund was more the ballpark, ball field. I guess we're calling it the ballpark. That was most of your asset additions. Utility fund, they bought a new garbage truck, computers, there was a new electric line truck. So those were the big capital asset purchases. Debt-wise, general fund paid off $28,000 in debt. Utility fund had the two new loans for the two new trucks, but in addition, they paid off $133,000 in debt. So they're paying all that out. If we look at your net position, 90% of that, $11.6 million, is tied up in capital assets. So that what that means is that those are trucks, desks, all that. So you can't use that to make payroll. 7% is restricted, and that's restricted by outside sources. So y'all can't do anything about that, which left you with 3% unrestricted. But if we added back in that 2.9, it would actually be higher, just so you know. Any questions about that? There are no surprises this year. If you turn to page 13, your statement of activities, this is also like an income statement, profit and loss, and I'll summarize it. Your total revenues for the year, general fund had $3.7 million in revenues. It was up 28% from last year. Most of that was due to the ARP grant, and I know that's going to be a lot the past few years, and which has been kind of easy for me. It's the ARP money. So those are some one-time grant things that are kind of affecting that. Plus, you had a big sale of equipment. That was usually like a one-time thing this year that won't happen next year. Utility fund revenue for 23 was $8.5 million. It was up 7%, and most of that was just due to increase in sales. Your billing, utility billings went up. Expense-wise, general fund had total expenses of $3.3 million. Those were up 29%, which is correlating with the grant revenue coming in and all that. So that's kind of why you're seeing those, you know, big one-offs. Utility fund expenses were $9.7 million for the year. It was up 37%, and most of that was just due to your sales were up, and so were your expenses, your purchases for that stuff. So your change in net position for the year total was, it was a loss of $757,000, but I would like to point out that last year you had a positive, you had an increase of $1.3 million. So a lot of that was just timing, and the grants came in last year and the expenses came out this year. So it was a timing thing. That's why I know if there was a big loss, there was a big gain last year. It's just timing. If that makes sense. So all that money's being used for what it's supposed to be used for. Are there any questions on that? If you will turn to page 14, and I'm just going to point out one thing on this. This is your balance sheet, and you'll notice it'll say governmental funds. So this is more how you're used to looking at it on a monthly basis and how you budget. I'd just like to point out on your general fund, which is your main operating account, your unassigned fund balance was $1.4 million, which makes up 69% of your total general fund expenditures. So I'd just like to point out that you have almost three quarters. You've got some, you know, some little cushion built up there for those contingencies. Any questions on that? Pages 24 through 46 are your footnotes. Just kind of like the management's discussion and analysis. You know, this may be something you may want. If you have any questions on the balance, on the statement of net position, what makes up fixed assets, the debt, any kind of accounting policies, receivables, anything that. It should be answered here in the footnotes. So I won't go through 22 pages of footnotes. But a couple that I do like to point out is on page 33. There is a note 2, deposits and investments. Under custodial credit risk, I'd just like to point out that out of all of your cash balances, the balances in the bank, they're either insured or collateralized. So we always check to make sure, if, you know, if the bank getting bought out and closes up, you have insurance or FDIC insurance or collateral that will cover your deposits on hand at the bank. If that makes sense. I know that's a big thing. So y'all are fully collateralized or insured. And then the last note would be note 10, the subsequent event. Just to let you know, we have evaluated everything up to the date of our auditor's report and noted anything in here that would be notable. If that makes sense. Anything after that wouldn't be included in here. And then the rest of it is just required supplementary information. It's more the budget, the actual, your budgeting looks, you know, looks like it's working well. And there weren't any other big things that look like any surprises. Any questions? Anything else y'all would like for me to discuss further? Or
anything? Who
likes to hear the clean, unmodified opinion?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing, right?
Anything you notice of note that we need to address or look at? We're all good?
All good.
All right, anybody have any questions? Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor?
I think that speaks volumes of our town, of the work that goes into getting clean audit.
A lot goes in. Next, we'll move on to the special presentation and appreciation of the first responders.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. It's all right. I'm gonna turn this over to Michael Smith and let him tell you what we're doing and why we're doing it. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
So, Kevin asked me to do this. Y'all know I don't like to speak. But on February the 1st, Oconee County Emergency Services held their first annual awards recognition banquet. Y'all have made a lot of financial investments into police, fire, emergency services this year. And so some of our folks got some awards, and so I'm gonna try to tell you what folk and who got them. I'll list our employees' names, but also keep in mind there were people from the hospital, sheriff's department, and the volunteer rescue squad who also assisted us. The first one they gave out was Training for Excellence. That is for people who have had a minimum of 1,000 hours of certifiable training. So Captain Jeff Claren, Fire Marshal, he got that. Lieutenant Cody Colby got that, and then myself got that. And so there were others that got it from the county, nine others. And what I did notice walking back here looking at this list, there are no volunteers on this list. It's very hard for volunteers to get the training that we have to have nowadays. So February the 5th, we'll fast forward. And I'm just going to read what they read at the presentation. On February the 5th in the Westminster area, responders were dispatched to a possible cardiac arrest. Once on scene, they found a patient in cardiac arrest. Responders began chest compressions and ventilations until the arrival of EMS. Responders continued ventilations and assisting EMS. Once the patient had a pulse back, the patient was flown to Greenville. So that's the medical life-saving award, because the patient was able to be transported with a pulse and actually left the hospital. So for that call, Westminster PD Officer Tyler Price and Fire Department Lieutenant Matthew Nix, and then two county employees got an award for that one. We had several of those, by the way. On June the 5th, dispatched to a respiratory distress call. Units arrived on scene to find the patient in cardiac arrest, or to find the patient pulseless. It was upgraded to cardiac arrest. Responders, again, chest compressions and ventilations. City law enforcement responded and assisted responders with patient care. Units were able to get a pulse back. Patients transported to the hospital. Patient was discharged from Greenville 2 days later. Had a massive blood clot in his artery. So the gentleman's still alive today, very thankful. We run into him weekly.
Wow.
But the responders on that call, once again, was Lieutenant Cody Colby, myself, one of our volunteers, Donnie Moore, and Westminster PD officers John Davis and Tyler Price once again. On November the 23rd, and there's more that should have been given awards, or more awards should have been given out, but they came in, or they happened after the deadline for the awards. So November the 23rd, responders were alerted to a possible unconscious patient. Upon going en route, units were upgraded again to a cardiac arrest. Upon arrival, responders advised that the patient had no pulse and was not breathing. CPR was initiated and the AED was attached. Shocks were delivered. And upon arrival, EMS, the patient was attached to their cardiac monitor which confirmed the cardiac arrest. Following a second round of CPR, pulse check was called for, and at that time, patient did have a pulse. And was attempting to breathe on her own. However, it was necessary for the responders to continue assisting in ventilations. The patient was then transferred to the ambulance to a landing zone flown to Greenville. And then the people who got that award for medical life-saving, again, Lieutenant Cody Colopy, one of our part-timers, Dylan Gates, one of our former employees, her grandson, Ben Sheriff, Westminster PD, Miss Caitlin Pope, and Westminster PD, John Murr. And then for Meritorious Unit Award, on August the 10th, responders were dispatched to a suicide attempt on scene after the scene was secured by law enforcement. Unfortunately, the patient did not make it. The incident involved a family with small children, and four individuals decided as a group the proper thing to do would be to go and clean this up so that the children and the family didn't have to see it. good friends with this guy, whose wife killed herself, but myself and three guys from the county wouldn't have done that. And so we don't do this for credit, we don't do this for accolades, but I want you guys to know what your money's paying for. So thank you.
Thank you. We definitely do appreciate all y'all do. That's a tough job.
And Mayor, I'd just like to note the logistics of getting all those folks here would take quite a bit. They had their recognition ceremony, and I think that was good. I appreciate Chief Smith, Chief Pope, the way they represented us at that event, and then coming here to tell you a lot of that stuff I don't even know until I go in and I beg them to tell me, because they are of the mindset that it's their job and they don't go around bragging about the things that they do. So Chief, I really appreciate you coming in and doing that so that the council has the benefit of knowing what you do. So Mayor, Council, thank you.
Thank y'all. Next, move on to routine business. Approval of the January 9, 2024 regular meeting minutes. You have those in your packet. We need a motion to approve those.
Motion to approve January 2024 regular meeting minutes.
Second. Motion to second. Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, approval of January 23rd planning session workshop minutes.
Make a motion to approve January 23rd planning session workshop minutes.
Second.
Any discussion or questions? Call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Next, approval of January 23rd call meeting minutes.
Second.
Questions? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Next, approval is January 24th and final priority set workshop meetings.
I make a motion that we approve the January 24th priority setting workshop minutes.
Second.
Questions or discussion? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Next, comments from the utility director, Mr. Kevin Harbin.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we'll start with the USDA waterline project we've got running. Things are in an area now where they're just long straight runs, so there's not a whole lot of change weekly with their updates. They are currently Division 1, which was the Dawn Drive, Dixon Road, and Philip Lear, Dr. John's section. They have made it to Dr. John's Road. They have Tabor. When they reach Tabor and make that tie-in, they will go back to Philip Lear and begin coming toward town to Campbell Road. And that's where that will tie in, and that will be the completion of that project. They currently, according to Rosier Group and Arrowwood, are on schedule to finish on time.
Yeah, when is that?
Toward the end of this year.
Okay.
I do not know the exact date on hand. I apologize. I can't get that for you. Division 2 was two sections on Long Creek Highway, which have been now flooded. They have gone through bacterial testing and passed. We're waiting. Any day now should get the approval from DHEC to operate, which those lines will be open, and they have the materials to begin making the connections on the Long Creek Highway section, which will allow us to then abandon that plastic PVC 6-inch line that we've had so much trouble with the last few years. They're now running down Welcome Church Road. They have made it as far as the boys' camp. They have a small section, less than 800 feet, and then they've started again going on out toward Berry Farm, where they're turning and go to Cleveland Pike and make that tie-in. So once they make the 800 feet they've got now, they have already run 1,000 or better feet past that. They had some rock they had to contend with, so they are also on schedule, they said, to complete by the end of the project. Any questions on the USDA project? All right. The other thing I've got is coming up on Monday, President's Day, which is a city holiday. However, most of our group actually will be working. We have, some of you may have noticed on Highway 76, an area with a water leak on a 14-inch line. We've got it combed off with the orange combs and fencing. That is a repair that's going to take some effort and could cause some problems we want y'all to be aware of. The leak is on a 14-inch cast iron line that's been in place for a very long time. Being 14-inch, parts are hard to get for that size pipe now. They still are available. They're just hard to get. And that particular line was a raw water line when water was pulled out of Ramsey's Creek and went to the water treatment plant when it was across from Madeline Quick Stop at the what we call the Apple Tower. When they put that new water plant in, they turned it around, and that's now a fresh water line. Because it was a raw water line, there was no need for valves. So valves are very scarce on that line. We're actually going to be testing tomorrow and some this week, trying to find valves to see how much of that we can actually isolate. Because we are not positive what we can and cannot isolate, we've chosen to do this on a holiday when schools are out, just in case there is any disruption to the water. So just to let you know, when we do this Monday, there could be water disruption in parts of the system. We are doing our very best to localize that and minimize that disruption. We have actually already measured and built out what's going to go in. So when we do start cutting things out, we hope it's just a simple two cuts, sit the new piece in, tighten up 4 bolts, and turn everything back on. But I wanted you to be aware that there is a possibility of disruption to service.
Are we notifying all the customers that might be
affected? Our hope is we're going to try to do an all call either the day before or the day of. The only issue with that is when we do an all call, our system is not set up into areas, so it will call every water customer we have, and we'll just have to put a description in there that if you are in this area, you may have disruptions on the day. Any questions on that?
As long as we do that, I think that's all we can do. Let them know so they can get some water caught up ahead.
And we're gonna prepare in the morning and try to wait till about 10 or 11 o'clock to let all the morning water rush, everyone showering and getting ready that has to leave, to where we can just jump in and try to get it with as small of impact as possible.
And Council, we talked about the things that we know and that we don't know about our water and sewer system. we don't know how this is going to affect the system-wide. So this could impact all of our customers to some extent. You may have some flood water pressure. It's the type of leak that, when Kevin talked about valves, they don't really have valves to isolate it. It means there's a long line, and that water is staying pressurized in that pipe for a long stretch. So they can't turn a valve off here and here, in essence, freeing that water out of that area they're going to work. Because we don't know, that line is so long, we don't know where those valves would be that affect it the closest. I expect we're going to have a boil water advisory out of it. We may not. Kevin and his guys are contingency prepping, and we will do everything we can to keep everybody notified. Mayor, the challenge in doing the all call is typically when we do that, I want to say there's a percentage. Rebecca would probably give you a high percentage. I'd give you a low percentage, but you should always trust Rebecca over me. When we do that all call, people call back and say, I see you called me. I didn't get the message. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we end up aggravating people more than we end up informing them, but we still do it because of the folks that can hear it or do hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of an undertaking. I'm very proud of Kevin and his group for the way they've already prepped for it, but we've not done this before, and just know that on that Monday, we could have some low water pressure, and if we have a boil water advisory, we'll be on top of it. Keep in mind that boil water advisory doesn't mean that the water necessarily has been contaminated. It just means that it could have been, and we exercise an abundance of caution because we don't want anybody to get sick from drinking water. So it's a pretty big event. We will put as much information out there on Facebook, figure out when the best time to do the all call, and everything else that we can to notify our customers. But old system, we'll do the best we can.
Anything else?
I mentioned to you, we had a lot of areas around town where the water was pooling, mainly on the state roads during this last rain event, and we're going to be getting more of that. Is there any way we get the state to come in and try to clean these road banks off?
I have seen them around. They've done a few areas in town. They were on Dewey Street week before last over there. They kind of work off the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we have to find or have the areas reported to us. We can compile a list and get them to Randy Russell to DOT and see, and then put the ball in their court.
Well, we need to be the squeaky wheel. What we need to do.
Yes.
So we just need to get you those areas.
Yes, sir.
Kevin, can we use that sign of the old Walgreens as some don't, you know, make people panic type alert? But something may be going on Monday. I don't know what you'd actually, what the wording would be, but
I'll get with the guy that works on that sign and see if we can come up with right
letter.
That
guy?
Yep, that guy.
He usually does it late at night, but
I'm not sure what the wording would be, but
potential water issue.
Any other questions for Kevin?
Low water watch.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kev. Move on to comments from City Administrator, Mr. Brunson.
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, thank you very much. So police chief search update. I'll let you know that we had 12 candidates originally. Two of those 12 candidates withdrew their applications as we began the vetting process. We did an internal staff vetting, which was very basic. Did they have meet the minimum standards? They have any felonies in their background? Just very basic of the staff, and we narrowed that 10 down to 6. With that 6, we are now following the Criminal Justice Academy protocols for doing. There are 4 or 5 different things that they ask us to do, and that they are assisting us with doing. And we very likely will ask the sheriff's office to help us with one of the criminal background check components. Just for your benefit, the thing that the Criminal Justice Academy likes to do is they like to know where the officers are coming from and where they're going to. So anytime an officer leaves an employment with one agency and moves to another, the Criminal Justice Academy keeps track of that and the reason why. And it's a good safeguard for everybody, but ultimately it was started because there were places where some police officers that probably shouldn't have been police officers were getting moved from one entity to the next. And that's what that is designed to at least inform, not necessarily stop anybody from being able to do that. You have a council meeting on March the 19th, which is the third Tuesday in March rather than the second, because the school district has their spring break that second week. I expect that that week of the 19th that you will have candidates to be able to interview. As we keep going through the vetting process, this next phase, again, this what we're doing on the vetting is really what I call more technical than anything else. It's not really checking for what their personalities are, what their fit is with the City of Westminster, what their fit is with the organization. This is just paper. This is what I call technical. So we are on task when the former chief resigned, I committed to you that we would have something to you by March, and we are still on schedule.
Very good.
Anderson Park renovation update, round two. So you know we bid Anderson Park out, didn't have any bids. We went back, we did some more work. We now put it back out to bid. We had a pre-bid conference yesterday in the pouring rain. It was glorious. We had three separate entities show up for the pre-bid. We had one show up 2 hours early who didn't attend that, so if I can count him, that would be four. And then we had another who didn't come because it was raining. I count that as five. And the pre-bid conference was not mandatory. We can't make it mandatory when we use community development block grant funds. Arlene Young from the Appalachian Council of Governments, who is going to manage the technical components of administering the grant for us, she was there. We were pleased with the turnout. The bids are due March the 6th. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong note. The bids are due March 1st. And so we hope that we will have some pretty strong bids. The folks that came out yesterday were fairly interested in the project. And just to reorient you, when we did this the first time, it was Davey, Miss Ruth, and I, and I think the person from the college, nobody else showed up. It was also a rainy day, if I remember
rainy.
Correctly. So if we wanted to rain, we'll schedule a free day for Anderson. So we're hopeful that we will get this in and possibly be under construction sometime in April. We have released our request for bids for our street paving projects. You may recall I gave you the list in your in the budget workshop we had just previous to this. The pre-bid meeting for that, which is mandatory, is February the 20th at 2 o'clock at City Hall. Troy Rozier, who's our civil engineer, will lead that for us. And then bids are due March the 6th at 2 p.m. That should put us in a good position to get these streets paved this spring or this summer. You know, we were awarded the money last year from the City Fund Committee in May, and we're a little bit too late to actually get on the contractor's paving list, so we're ready to move forward with that. And if we have to make any adjustments like we've talked about with Oak Street, we'll do that once the bids come in. Mayor, that's all I have.
Nothing in other?
I have nothing in other. You know, the other is in case I forgot something to put on there, and I don't think I forgot anything.
All right.
If I did, I forgot.
Very good. Any questions for Kevin? All right, we'll move on to old business. Consider the second reading ordinance 2024-02-13-01. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to approving ordinance 2024-02-1301 to amend Title 7, Chapter 70 of the Code of Ordinances for the City of Westminster.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, we brought this before you at our January 9th meeting where you agreed on first reading. This ordinance would essentially allow our officers three main points. They'd be able to ticket offenders under city code without a warrant for not complying with their orders. Offenders could potentially avoid a higher arrest record in certain situations, and fines would be paid, would remain in city court, which will keep those funds local. Chief Pope brought this to our attention, and certainly staff recommends it as a strong improvement to our current code.
Any questions or discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. All right, next, item two, consider ordinance 2024-03-19-01. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion we accept public reading. Ordinance number 2024-03-19-01.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, so back in October, and this is with the former police chief's resignation, we looked at a couple of things in our ordinance. We talked about whether or not having the council continue to appoint the police chief and the city clerk is what you wanted to do, or if you wanted to hand that over to your administrator, which is me. Andrew and I have talked back and forth about it. You all have had quite a bit of discussion. And the only thing that I would suggest to you is you have quite a few things in this ordinance that aren't necessarily related to that issue. So if you're inclined to retain the appointment authority of the police chief, then it may be worth, or my request would be, that even if that motion fails amongst you, you come back and let me, if you're willing, point out to some of you these things in here that are administrative cleanups. So one of them is how much you pay the city attorney that's codified. One of them has to do with how many days notice you give the city administrator, which is covered differently in the contract. There's some things in here related to what used to be called the street department superintendent, but now we call it the utilities director. So if you're inclined to pass it as you have it, that's great. If it's the part about who appoints the police chief and the city clerk that you want to retain the privilege of appointing, then if I may ask that you consider the other components that are not related to that, that would help us clean up those administrative parts of our code. All that to say, you're the council. You get to decide any and all of that that you want.
I don't know how everybody else feels, but that's kind of the way I'm leaning right there, exactly. How does that need to be made? And well, we already have a motion. No.
So for what it's worth, and Andrew, you lay in here if you'd like, I think you should consider the motion that you have right now, and if it does not pass amongst you, then someone else make a motion, and we can go through and pick what that motion would be to just handle the administrative components. Is that, Andrew, does that sound all right?
Yeah, or y'all discuss it, and either you vote it up or you vote it down.
Or we just amend it. Amend the motion to include whatever he wants included. Do we do it that way?
We could also, I mean, it's a first reading, so,
yeah. Adam, do you want to amend your motion?
I made
no, you didn't. Who made the original motion? Okay. Well, we can do it either way y'all want to do it. Go ahead and put it up for vote as it is and make it simple. Then we'll redo it if it don't pass.
I think that would be the simplest thing,
okay.
Because I kind of am looking at each of you wondering what to do. My suggestion would be to go ahead and vote on your motion.
I got you.
And then come back. You'll know that one either Well, if you're coming back, you know that it did pass. And then we can, I'll walk you through the things that I would like for you to still consider, and you decide if you'd like to put that in an amendment motion, or in another motion, not an amendment motion.
All right, so we have a motion on the table to approve this ordinance as, or these amendments as listed. We have a motion and a second. You want to go ahead and call for a vote?
Adam?
No, ma'am.
Davey?
No.
Ruth?
No.
Jimmy?
No.
Ron?
No, ma'am.
Dale?
No, ma'am.
All right, would it help now if I showed you or pointed these out, Mayor?
Well, let me see if this works. I'll make a motion to approve the consideration of the ordinance with the amendments of removing the city clerk and the police department appointment from that. Does that work?
Andrew, I can figure that out if you're good with it. They'll have secondary.
The motion's as it is with those items removed. Just the appointments.
So 31.40 and 33.105? 33.02.
What about the fire chief? If you go to the second page, you're 33.20. It says, with the concurrence of city council, the fire chief is appointed by the city administrator, and with the concurrence of, that's struck out.
Yeah.
We did talk to Lawrence, and Lawrence and I have a slightly different interpretation of what the safest course of action is. Basically, what I told you last year was, I think the safest course of action, if we wanted to do this, which I don't have any qualms about doing this, but that the safest course of action would be to amend the form of government from a council form to a manager council. Lawrence basically said, no, you don't have to do that, but that in the event you wanted to do this, there should still remain some oversight by council. And I think with the clerk, it's pretty clear from statute. I think it's 5-7-220. Don't quote me on that. But it basically says in a mayor council or in a council or mayor council form of government, the council has to appoint the clerk. Only in a manager council would the manager, in our case administrator, appoint the clerk. So that one's a lot more clear. I think Lawrence opened that email with something along the lines of, it's kind of an open question. And so, you know, I think we can do it, but there needs to remain some level of oversight unless we were to change the form of government, which is another option that could vest Kevin with the power contemplated in this ordinance. So there's a couple of different ways to skin this cat. The easiest one, however, is to delegate that authority while maintaining the oversight. And so that's, I guess, my question as it relates to 33.20. About the fire chief as well, is
so what I would suggest, Mayor, is that you make a motion.
Right.
If you make a motion and you remove, and I'll give you the numbers that you would remove.
Right.
So you would remove 3140.
Correct.
You would remove 3305. You would remove 3302. You would remove 3320. And you would remove 9101. The rest of those do not speak to the hiring or firing of the police, fire chief, or the city clerk.
I'm okay with 9101. I think that should be between the police chief and you. Okay. I'm fine with that. And you said 33, 33.02?
33.02 and 33.20. I think you need to remove 33.02 because if you're going to retain the privilege of appointing the chief, you should also appoint the interim chief.
Okay.
Which is what you did this
time. Is there anything in 33.01 that you think we need to?
Well, 33.01, we are already having the hiring and firing decided by the police chief. I mean, you could certainly leave that in there, but we do not bring officer candidates to you to
I don't want us to do that. That should
we
be
don't
the police
need to
chief.
Do that.
No, that should be the job of the police chief.
So just four. 33.40, 33.20, 33.05, 33.02.
So Andrew, can we vote on this as modified and then y'all clean it up and bring it back for second reading?
Yes. But I don't know that I'm going to nail this, so please don't call me to it. But I will try to capture what I believe your amendments are, and we'll just say as amended. And if it's not what you want, I'll try and circulate it sooner
right.
than we normally get them out. I'll get it to Rebecca as soon as possible. And then any individual comments can be fed back to me before we actually put it on the agenda for March. That seems like that might work the best.
All right, so we have a motion now that covers that for you, correct?
Yes.
And all right, so we just need a second to vote, and that's first reading.
Kevin, let me ask a question, and Brian's going to be for you also. Just to clarify on the 33.01, this would be the council, as you made a motion, appointing the chief. Do we need and we're not going to do the police officers, but do we need to strike, leave that, and all police officers of the department, do we need to strike that just for?
Should it be
clear reading?
Read different.
Yes, should that just read different to strike and all police officers?
Yes.
Department?
Yes.
Strike that part, but leave the chief.
I think, if I understand what you're asking, the answer is yes.
Okay, yes. Just make it clear so there's no mud and water.
Yeah. All right, we're good? Need a second?
Second.
Wait a minute. Can you say it again? I'm going to write that.
How about, Mayor, I read you what I have, and you tell me if I've got it right.
All right.
So we'll start at the top. 3125, you'll keep. Second one, 3140, you'll take out. 3157, you keep. 3301, you keep.
With the striking of all police officers.
Yes, well, I have that struck on mine, I guess.
It is, but yeah. Does that, if that's the current reading of it,
well,
then we need to strike out all police officers.
Yes. 3305 you take out. 3302 you take out. 3320 you take out. 9101 you keep. 9131 you keep. 9133 you keep. 9136 you keep. And 9137 you keep.
Can I just have a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
I
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Call for a vote, please.
Sadie?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Need a break? You just want to go? Thank y'all for that. I know it's frustrating. Next, under new business. Make a motion.
Make a motion, please. 5 minutes.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Thank you.
We had another one that had to leave too, so you might as well.
Yeah, I might as well do it.
Can you say it made a second?
I did.
There you go. We'll stretch your leg.
Nobody else did quick and she was ready to roll. I'm gonna wait on that one.